I just want you to imagine with me tonight. We start out here. Well, it's gonna require you to close your eyes for a while so you can get a visual picture. So I ask everybody to close their eyes and imagine you decide you're gonna go skydiving. You go up in the plane and you're getting ready and the door opens and you're at the edge of the plane and you jump out. Now you're free falling. It's a pretty amazing experience. That ground's coming in close. And you reach for that cord. Nothing happens. Your shoe won't open. What's crossing your mind? What are you thinking about? You're struggling what seems for about an eternity. A lot of thoughts crossing your mind. Then you try that cord one more time and that chute opens. And you make a safe landing on the ground. The question is, once you landed on the ground, you can open your eyes now. How would you act differently after being through that experience? How would you act differently? I ask that because actions set the direction for our life. I want to talk about an action that every Christian should have. That action is called faith. A Christian man was on a long flight from one place to another. The first warning of the approaching problem came when a sign on the airplane flashed on. Fasten your seatbelts. And then after a while, a calm voice said, "We shall not be serving beverages at this time. We're expecting a little turbulence. Please be sure your seatbelt is fastened." As the Christian man looked around the aircraft, it became obvious that many of the passengers were becoming apprehensive. Later, the voice of the announcer said, "We are so sorry, but we will be unable to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us." Then the storm broke. Cracks of lightning and thunder could be heard above the roar of the engines. Lightning lit up the darkness, and within moments, the great plane was like a cork tossed around in the ocean. One moment, the airplane was lifted on terrific currents of air. The next, it dropped as if it were about to crash. The man confessed that he shared the discomfort and the fear of those around him. He said, "As I looked around the plane, I could see that nearly all the passengers were upset and alarmed. Some were praying, and the future seemed doomed, and many were wondering if they would make it through the storm. Then, he suddenly saw a little girl. Apparently, the storm meant nothing to her. She had tucked her feet beneath her, and as she sat on her seat, she was reading a book, and everything within her small world was calm and orderly. Sometimes she closed her eyes, and then she would read again. Then she would straighten her legs, but worry and fear were not in her world. When the plane was being buffeted by the terrible storm, when it lurched this way and that, as it rose and it fell with frightening severity, when all the adults were scared half to death, That marvelous child was completely composed and unafraid. The man could hardly believe his eyes. It was not surprising, therefore, when the plane finally landed, it reached its destination, and all the passengers were hurrying to disembark. The man lingered to speak to the girl whom he had watched for such a long time. And having commented about the storm and the behavior of the plane, he asked why she had not been afraid. The child replied, "Because my daddy's the pilot. He's taking me home." You see, in this plane ride called life, our daddy's the pilot, and he's taking us home. Do we trust him? You see, how much fear we have is weighed by how much faith we have. There's usually three ways that people deal with fear. The first way is people let fear control them. Fear again. If you want to control someone, all you have to do is make them feel afraid. Another way people handle fear is they understand that there's something more important, so they overcome that fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important. An example of what I mean there is you might be afraid of all sorts of things. But if one of your children is in danger, fear goes out the window. Because something's more important. And then for others, fear's not really there. Because when fear arises, it's replaced by faith. Psalms 34:4 said, "I sought Yahweh, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." But you see, what we do with fear starts to set a direction. Starts to set a direction and the path that we must travel. But when something is more important, fear should go out the window because it's replaced by faith. Let's open up to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, picking it up in verse 2. "Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." You see, trials are the testing of our faith. But I kind of see it like this, that if a trial's headed at you, and you have this wall of faith built, then that trial will come, it'll hit your wall of faith, deflect, and that's the end of that trial. Because it's met with faith, and you don't have to go through it anymore because you've already been built up to the point you need to be. But if that faith is not there, or if that faith wall is not built strong enough, then the trial comes at you, and it comes through your wall, because you're still needing to be built up to a certain point in your character. But trials are a testing of our faith. I think this faith word is pretty important. I believe that the New Testament mentions it 236 times. I think that faith is actually the bonding agent that holds the Christian together in Christ. It's essential. One night a house caught on fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump! I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump! I'll catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." Now, I'm not saying here that we should be taking some blind leap of faith. I'm saying exactly the opposite. I'm saying that we should trust God because He's told us that He'll take care of us. I'm saying that we should trust God when we can't see through the flames and the smoke that are in our life. I'm saying that we should trust Him by hearing His voice, the voice that He speaks through His Scripture. I'm saying we should trust God even when we can't see where we're going to end up, or we can't see what the end result is going to be. I'm saying that we should trust that He's a good Father, that He's a good pilot, and He's going to get us home safe. You see, this trust in God, that's what's called faith. And it's the opposite of fear. The faith you have sets a direction for your life. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him." That verse gets my attention a lot because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's pretty important that we get this faith thing right. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" The righteous man should live how?
Faith.
By faith. That word righteous there, that's Strong's words, 1342. And its meaning is of character or conduct just as it should be. You see, faith is something that makes the character of a righteous man or woman just as it should be. See, I want to get this faith theme right because I want to make sure that I'm traveling the path in a way just as I should be. Because our faith directs the path that we must travel. I'll give you an example of that. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, picking up in verse 26. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of Yahweh your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because Yahweh hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we, and the cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Achim there. Then I said to you, do not be shocked, nor fear them. Yahweh your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how Yahweh your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, you did not trust Yahweh your God. This was the first generation of the people that came out of Egypt. They didn't trust God and what became their path. It became a wandering in the wilderness. You see, it didn't change God's plan, but it changed their life. God had a plan for them to have an abundant life in the promised land, but they didn't trust God. They didn't have the faith in that. And so they ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. It changed the direction of their life. God said the land was theirs for the taking. All they had to do was have the faith. But then we got another example of the next generation. And if we turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting in verse 21. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that Yahweh your God has done to these two kings. So Yahweh shall do to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for Yahweh your God is the one fighting for you. You see, in this next generation, they believe God. If you turn a book over to Joshua, chapter 1, we'll see that here. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 16, they answered Joshua saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. You see the different picture here? This new generation had faith. And they entered the promised land. They obtained that abundant life that was planned for their parents. And in the great faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, this new generation is mentioned. And then a few chapters over here in Joshua chapter 6, that new generation's faith is turned into action. Joshua chapter 6 is the wall of Jericho. And I think we're all pretty familiar with that story. But I think that story sometimes, when we start out on our journey of faith, God says, I want you to march around this wall. And so we pick up our faith and we put it on and we start marching around the wall. And that's day one. And then on day two, God says, I want you to march around this wall. And so we pick up our faith and we start marching around the wall again. And that's day two. Then on day three, God says, I want you to pick up your faith and march around this wall. And we start marching around the wall again. Day four comes and he says, I want you to march around this wall again. And we start picking up our faith. But as we pick it up, we're like, I've already marched around this wall for 3 days. And nothing's happened. But we pick up our faith and we start marching around the wall again. Then day five comes. And God says, I want you to march around this wall again. And this is where some of us start to stumble. We start picking up that faith and we're like, I've already marched around this wall for 4 days. Nothing's happened. We might start questioning, why am I doing this? We might start thinking, what if I go out and I walk around this wall and I get attacked? Or we might think, I've done this for so long, nothing's happened. I think God has forgot about me. I don't think this is working out right. You see, something starts to happen. We pick up that faith on day five, and we keep marching, but our faith has slipped. Our faith is not believing in God, even though we can't see the end result anymore. Or for some of us, our faith might just get too heavy and we take it off and we lay it down. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Told you it talked about that next generation in Hebrews chapter 11. The proof that I wasn't lying is in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Let me read that again. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. How? After they had been encircled for 7 days. You see, that marching around that wall for that many days was a testing of the faith of the new generation. They said they would go. God was testing them to see if they meant what they said. Will we trust God? Will we trust Him when He tells us to keep marching even though we don't see the end result or where we're going to end up? Will we go where He asks? Will we keep that faith up and not let it slip? never taking it off or setting it down? That's faith. Believing in God and what He said. See, God's plan's going to play out no matter what. But there's some free will involved. Say this is God's plan. Start here. You got a couple ways you can face this. Either you can be like that second generation, and abundant life is up here. And you can just trust God and go straight to abundant life. We'll talk about what I mean by abundant life in a little bit. Or we can be like that first generation, and we can just end up wandering. God gave them a lot of chances to try to get that right. But their end result, they never made it because they never had the faith. That's why I say your faith directs the path you must travel. The question is, how are you going to get there? You going to be like the second generation direct path, or are you going to wander? I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. If you're fearful, seek the Lord. He will deliver you. To truly live our purpose for God, it is going to take a lot of faith and a lot of trust. Because sometimes we may not understand where we're headed. But don't you want to believe that God is bigger than what you can comprehend? Don't you want to believe that God is bigger than whatever you may fear? I mean, we can think of all sorts of things that could happen. You know what that is? That's a distraction. You know who's at the root of that? Satan. If you want to control someone, all you have to do is make them feel afraid. What if I get sick? What if I can't pay the bills? What if I talk to so-and-so about the truth and they never talk to me again? Faith sets a direction. Hopefully you're still in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 33. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, and shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. I bring that to light because you see, the point here is it was their faith that quenched fires. It was their faith. faith. They conquered kings. It was their faith that shut the mouths of lions. You get what it's saying here? Their faith was the very thing that kept them from the thing they feared. So if you're fearful of something in life, the very way to be saved from that fear is to replace it with faith. Where faith is growing, fear is fleeting. Where faith stands strong, fear has no place. Fear cannot stand in the face of faith. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. See, I like this. Paul said that he was with them in much fear and trembling. But what did Paul do? He didn't speak to them words of wisdom to overcome that fear. No. What it looks like he did is he showed them a faith picture. He showed them what faith was. A belief in the power of God. So that their faith did not rest on the thinking of men or what I think could happen. Their faith rested on the power of God. God is in control. Do we truly believe it? Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 27. Starting in verse 1, Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversary and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though the war rises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from Yahweh, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. The Lord is my salvation. We believe that? Then what shall we fear? Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. If we can have this true, strong faith, then we'll hear the Master's voice when he calls us out to that abundant life. Now, I'm not talking about what the world would say an abundant life is. I'm not talking about riches and all your heart desires. I'm talking about in a true, abundant life. That comes when we're living the purpose that we were created for. Now, that's not going to be the life you had planned for yourself, but it is the purpose that you were created for. Will you enter that promised land if he calls you to it? Will you have the abundant life? Will you live your purpose in this generation? To do so, one must enter by faith.